my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I went up, I learned. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn, you had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russell
Rocky,
other names, Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Hutchison Brown. I've also got a trading problem.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Session 360 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP is always here to stay. So drop a DAP, comment, like, five-star review, everything. We appreciate all of you. And today we are honored to welcome Hutchison Brown for the first time on the podcast. Hutch, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
And first off, I just want to thank you two for having me on this show. Greatly, greatly appreciate you two for the invite. Y'all can follow me on Twitter on X at HutchisonB_FF. You can find me with that handle on Blue Sky as well. I'm just a teenager trying to make his way in the fantasy football space. I've been in here for a few years now making content. I got my podcast, Hutch Coming in Clutch, my weekly fantasy football show. So check that out wherever you get your podcasts. And then I do a lot of work with the Football Guys team. Go over to footballguys.com, go to the website, check out the articles we write, the rookie rankings, the rookie guide we have out right now is absolutely incredible. Very proud of our guys for doing that work over there. I've been a little bit a part of it as well. But yeah, check out Football Guys and the work I do over there. I do a lot of social media videos for them as well. But yeah, guys, again, thank you all so much for having me on.
Yeah, of course. I've been seeing Hutch's content since he was – on Ask DLF or Ask Tyler with Tyler Karp like a few years ago. So I've seen him in the streets for a while. So thanks again for coming on, man. First off, we have a little interview for first time guests. So how long have you been playing fantasy football?
So I've been playing fantasy football specifically. My first season is actually kind of funny. It was in 2019. That was my first season. And my first ever draft pick ended up being Christian McCaffrey in that legendary 2019 season. So I got pretty lucky with my first fantasy season.
And then how long have you been playing Dynasty for?
And then Dynasty wasn't really introduced until I started doing content. That's been more since like 2020. So like 4 or 5 years now I've been doing Dynasty.
Nice. And in that time, what's some of the best trades you've made in that span?
So my best trade was – I actually posted this on Twitter very recently because I was – you know, you guys asked me this question. I was digging through some of my trades, see if I could find some good ones. And I found some good ones. But the one I wanted to shout out was in March of 2022, I was able to send away Rondale Moore. And what I got back in return was Nico Collins, who is obviously now a star, and a 2022 second was turned into Damian Pierce, who had a good rookie season, but not much more than that. At least got a usable year out of him. And then a third, which I was used in another trade that ended up being a pretty good value for me as well. But yeah, Rondale Moore for Nico Collins, though. I got pretty lucky with that one. I got pretty good return.
I'll take that. I was probably the one trading away Nico Collins for Rondale Moore. I wasn't the biggest believer in him at the start.
I was never the biggest believer in Rondale Moore. So
yeah, he was little and fast. That was like my thing. So what are some of the worst trades you've made?
So obviously I've made some good trades. I've also made some bad ones. My worst trade was, it's the same league. I sent Ryan Tannehill and Antonio Gibson for Jonathan Taylor and Tom Brady. I received Ryan Tannehill and Tony Gibson.
I was going to say, if that's your worst trade, No.
I wrote it wrong in the doc. I'm sorry. Yeah. I received Ryan Tannehill and Tony Gibson, and I sent Jonathan Taylor and Tom Brady away in May of 2021. Yeah. So I missed out on a couple good Tom Brady years, and I also got crushed by Antonio Gibson instead of having Jonathan Taylor.
That's a rough one. I took Antonio Gibson third round in my first ever dynasty startup.
Yeah. I bought in after
I did too. I was excited. And then what's a guiding principle you have in trading overall?
For me, it's that obviously, you know, third round, fourth round rookie picks, they're fun. You know, sometimes you get a couple sleeper hits here and there. But in reality, when you look at the percentage amount of how many of these players actually hit to be a usable fantasy asset, let alone like a superstar, it is incredibly low. Like it is so, so low. It's like lottery ticket level low that you're going to be able to hit on one of these guys. And while you may think you're the draft expert, you may think you know the sleepers, no one really does. No one has everything correct.
But Puka Nacua.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know.
That's like the one in a million. And
that's like the one in a million chance, right? It's just these guys don't hit very often. So a rule for me that if someone's like, can you throw a third in? Or if you can get a deal done by throwing a third in, by throwing a fourth on top, that makes the deal look better for the other person, take advantage of that. Because in reality, it's not a needle mover of an asset. So if you can make a trade by setting a third, setting a fourth way, adding that onto your deal, do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually one of the guys who buys thirds just because I know the shots are low, but as many bites at the apple as you can take, especially in kind of deeper drafts like this one's coming up. But I do understand how if you can tier up using a third somehow, or just that's like the extra piece in the difference of a deal. And I know Russ and Rocky used to make fun of this. It's like the fourth had to be in that deal to make this happen. Yeah. Like without the 26th fourth, this wouldn't have happened. So
yeah, you gotta find the person in your league that thinks they know.
Exactly. It's like, I can find that guy in the fourth round.
You gotta find the person that thinks they know and then is willing to tier down to have that extra third round pick. That's when you can take advantage of people.
Exactly. So let's move into the news, and we're going to start with the question of the week, and I'm going to start doing this a little bit. Free agency is basically over now. So, Hutch, what was your favorite move, least favorite, most intriguing? I know you covered it on your show over the last couple of weeks on the free agency reactions, but what's your favorite and least favorite, and if there's any kind of, like, intriguing, you want to see how it goes.
Oh, man. Favorite signing? That's an interesting one. I really like – I think Davante Adams and the Rams is going to be really good for fantasy football. I almost would have said Jameis, because Jameis would have been fun to see with Malik Nabers. That would have been fun. I still think the Giants were to take a rookie anyway, but we'll talk about Russ going to the Giants in a second. But I love Davante Adams on the Rams. He is the clear-cut number two wide receiver next to Puka Nacua, and those two are going to have a phenomenal duo season. With Matthew Stafford at quarterback, you have these two wide receivers that consistently get open or consistently ready for the football. It's going to be a T. Higgins, Jamar Chase situation where you just have a good quarterback that's going to throw the football a ton. Yep. And you have two elite wide receivers that are going to eat up monstrous target shares. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Puka Nacua and Davante Adams get over 50% of their target shares. Like, that's what Jamar Chase and T. Higgins were doing last year towards the end of the season. They were averaging about 50 to 52% of the target share for the team.
Mm-hmm.
Given the lack of depth behind these two guys, I wouldn't be surprised if Puka and Adams are getting those kinds of target shares.
It's late. I get it.
Easy for you to say.
I wouldn't be surprised if those two are getting those types of target shares, and as a result, they're both top 15 fantasy receivers. So I love that one.
And Davante Adams is probably going to score 3 touchdowns in the championship week, while Puka gets 0, like T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. So.
That would suck. Yes. Yeah.
Rocky, do you have a favorite, and then we can go to least favorite?
Yeah, I was looking at them to refresh my memory.
I should have sent you a list.
Sorry. There weren't a lot of great moves. That's the one I was looking at. We talked about that. I guess this was just last week. Evan Ingram to the Broncos. I wanted to give something. I agree. Davante Adams is a great one, but
yeah,
Evan Ingram to the Broncos, I think, is another big high upside move. Sean Payton. Hopefully Bo Nix can keep it going. So, we kind of went into more detail last week, but that would be my, if I'm not picking Adams, Ingram would be the one for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My favorite, and also I think intriguing, is Justin Fields. Because I think he's athletic. I think people forget how good he was on the Steelers over that 4-2. He wasn't, you know, top 5 in passing, right? But he won games, and he gets the ball to the people that he needs to get the ball to. So I think it's a fun offense. Hutch, did you have a least favorite?
Least favorite, the Dallas, what they did at Raymack.
Yes, absolutely.
That was just unfortunate. I mean, because we were saying the same thing about Dallas last year, where it's like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, they're going to get a running back. Like, they can't do this again. And they went into the season with Breeko Dowell, Zeke Elliott, did not take a running back in that entire draft. And now, obviously, this year we're staring at a much more stronger draft class at running back compared to last year. But you could say the flip thing is when we were looking at a weak free agency this year and a strong free agency last year, Dallas had so much opportunity in free agency. Joe Mixon, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry were all on the board. And there were plenty of other names below them that were also valuable starters, and they didn't get anyone. So if Dallas enters the season with Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders as their starters, I mean, man, like I'll take Javonte with a flyer, man.
Yeah.
The kid had a phenomenal rookie season, and I really, really hope he can get healthy, because that blown up knee seemed to really affect him 2 years ago, seemed to affect him a bit this year as well. He just didn't look like the same player.
Yep.
I really, really hope he can do it. But yeah, if that backfield will probably be very gross if we enter, that's the backfield for fantasy this year.
And they'll probably draft somebody, but it's been looking like Genty won't get to them. So.
Yeah.
So that's what it seems like that was the big hope that Dallas drafts Genty. But yeah,
you heard the man, Rock. We get to be Javonte fans again.
Oh, I would be so in on Javonte if he was actually the start. The only main competition was Miles Sanders. Yes. for my least favorite, I would say anything having to do with Seattle.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
Trading DK Metcalf, signing Sam Darnold, even Cooper Kupp. I don't really love that move. I don't like Cooper Kupp in Seattle. So basically anything to do with Seattle is my least favorite move.
Yeah. My pick was Cooper Kupp. I think there were better places.
Sorry, just stealing your thunder a bit.
No, it's fine, because I agree. I think we talked about it when he was going to be traded or released at the time. We said, like, you know, Buffalo or Denver or somewhere like that where he could get some real run, and he's going to probably a bottom five passing offense now. So it's not going to be very fun.
And even for JSM, we've talked about it a little bit. I mean, I love the likely increase in target share, but I don't expect it to be a very good offense. So
right. I think that's bad for JSN too.
Yeah.
Cause he's going to have to play on the outside, which he's not going to like very much. Cause you're not going to put Cooper Kupp on the outside. So anything for most intriguing? My answer was Fields. I kind of cheated. Anything you're interested in? I can change it, actually. Another one is Jordan Mason in Minnesota.
That's a great one. He was a really, really intriguing one for me. Another intriguing signing for me, it's kind of like it honestly could be my favorite one. Najee Harris in Los Angeles, I think, is an incredible signing. I think he fits with that offense so perfectly. The big bullies at offensive line, Jim Harbaugh, a physical, hard-headed, running-style offense. Najee Harris is built for that. And, like, if the Chargers don't take a late running back, or they don't take somebody with high significance in the draft, Najee Harris could be a top six running back in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Probably. I think the upside's absolutely there. He can pass catch. Justin Herbert has proven that he's totally fine with dumping off if he needs to. Najee in this offense, like I mentioned, could be incredibly efficient. I think it could be his best season yet. So top six for fantasy is absolutely in the range of outcomes for him. I think that's a very, very fun signing for Los Angeles and for Najee.
That just feels like something they're going to take, like, Bishal Tootin, and then everyone's going to freak out about Najee's value. So, something like that.
If they take a day three running back, I'm not freaked out at all.
Me neither. I'm with you
at that point.
Yep. Rocky, what about you?
Yeah, intriguing, because I'm not sure entirely how I feel about this one. So, I think intriguing is the best way to describe it. I think it could go well. But Deebo Samuel going to the Commanders. Just because of the Jaden Daniels upside there mainly, they have McLaurin, but also they also don't have a Brian Robbins isn't a good running back, but I could see them doing the Deebo running the ball thing a little bit. He's not so good that you can't sub in Deebo for a handful of plays. So I feel like it could be able to go. I think they just guaranteed him a whole bunch of money recently, didn't they?
Yeah,
like,
they did.
They restructured his contract. So it signals that they plan to use him. I mean, obviously the trade and the contract they had to take on did too, but just another little extra boost there. So I'm very intrigued to see what happens there. I think it could go very well, or it could, away from Shanahan, maybe it doesn't work as well.
And then Roman in the chat says Fields not worth a first, but Superflex lovers thinking he's still worth a first. Are we sure Fields isn't worth a first, like a late one?
I would not be paying a first for Justin Fields in Dynasty. I think he could be a great fantasy quarterback this year. But this, when you look at the contract details, it's essentially a one-year deal.
It is, yeah.
Money. He could very easily be moved on after one season. And if Justin Fields is not the guy, the Jets are going to have a pretty bad season. Yeah. And they're probably going to be in a range where, especially in a strong draft class that we project to be a strong draft class in 2026, the Jets are going to be in prime position to take a quarterback. So I would not send a first for Fields, especially in this class that have a lot of interesting names at the back of the first round for me.
Yeah, I'm with Hutch, and I would just add also it's the Jets.
It is the Jets. So
that's enough of a downgrade there. Like I
think Rocky said that every week the last 3 weeks.
I never trust the Jets to do anything right. Yeah. So that'll probably go wrong somehow.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say. The Jets and the Giants racing for Arch Manning next year is going to be super fun when they both have like 3 wins in the last couple of games of the season. So moving on to the Giants and their QB decisions, Russ Wilson to the Giants on a 1 year deal, $10.5 million guaranteed, incentives up to $21 million. That was about 2 hours before we started recording. And then the news over the weekend was Jameis Winston to the Giants, 2 years, $8 million with incentives. So there's a lot to unpack here, actually more than it seems. First off, who do you guys, we'll start with Hutch. Who do you think is week one starter?
Russell Wilson. I think it'll be Russ. Jameis Winston is a fun, electric quarterback. He is fun for the locker room. He is a great backup quarterback. He is too dangerous with the football in his hands. He causes way too many turnovers, and I like him for fantasy because he hyper-targets his wide receiver one. He's willing to throw it downfield. When he was signed to that team, I was hesitant because I thought the Giants would take a quarterback in the draft still and use Jameis Winston as a bridge, but I was excited for the time that Jameis would have with Cleek Neighbors. That would have been awesome, but their team is just not going to work. Russell Wilson is a more established, proven veteran that can win some games. Maybe he can still win games. I don't know anymore. You know, he's kind of becoming a journeyman quarterback at this point. Like after
Seattle, which is crazy, by the way. Like 5 years ago, there's no way that was you were thinking.
Oh yeah, 5 years ago he was a Super Bowl winning franchise quarterback that you're never moving on from, and now it's been 2 years in Denver, a year in Pittsburgh, and now a year in the Giants. He's 30, almost 35 years of age. It's just unfortunate. But yeah, I think Russ will be the starter week one, and he'll remain the starter most of the season unless he plays horrifically bad. Then they'll throw in Jameis.
Yeah, I agree. The NFL has shown us that they don't want Jameis Winston starting for any of their teams.
Yeah,
pretty much. I agree with pretty much everything you just said, too. I love seeing Jameis Winston start for the NFL teams, but they don't like it so much because he does throw the ball to the other team too much. And, I mean, the contracts kind of signal that as well, that they expect Russ to be the starter. So I think it will be Russ week one. And, yeah, I think you would have to be pretty damn bad for them to go to Jameis.
I think they will go to Jameis after their week 12 bye, and they fired Dable, who's 3-9 or whatever, and they'll start Jameis the last 4 games.
Dable and Schoen will not be on this team next year.
Agreed. This is them trying to salvage it, and I don't think it's the right way to do it. But
I think it was a terrible idea.
Yeah. Honestly.
If you want to give yourself a clock, you draft a rookie and say, and if you have a bad season, it's like, hey, it's a rookie, give us another chance. That's how you get your clock reset. You don't do it by adding a veteran that's going to end up failing you.
Correct.
Like, this is just not set up for success. Like Joe Schoen and Brian Dable are gone.
Yep. Last on the Giants, and then I want to get to the Titans for a second, but Rocky, you know what question I'm going to ask you? Where is Neighbors below Bowers now? You had 4 assets above Bowers. With Russell Wilson as the quarterback, is Neighbors below Bowers?
No.
Okay.
I still think Russ is capable. He's nothing special, especially for fantasy, but I think he's capable of getting the ball to Neighbors plenty, and I'm not too worried about Malik Neighbors.
He showed plenty of willingness to chuck the ball down to George Pickens last year. And we saw the production that Pickens had with Justin Fields. It was not great. And then when Russell Wilson took over, George Pickens had a spike in fantasy football. He was basically a top 12 wide receiver on a weekly basis because he continued to catch balls downfield and he continued to get crazy touchdowns. He made big play after big play after big play because Russell Wilson is just not afraid to throw the football downfield. And while he isn't the same quarterback he once was, he still has a pretty solid deep ball. So I think Malik Neighbors will have a great time together. I think it'll be good.
I wonder if Lockett will be a Giant. I'm just literally, that just popped in my head. Is Lockett signed anywhere?
No, he is not.
I could see Lockett being a Giant to go with Russ. I could see that.
Could be.
For nothing. Let's just get to the Titans real quick, because all of this happened, and I didn't put this in the news because it's not news per se. It's like the rumors and the whispers. It sounds like the Titans are sitting at one, and they're not going to move, and they want more, or at least that's what they're saying. So Cam Ward on the Titans, Hutch, what does that do for you? Is he a QB2? Is he better than that? Do you like Calvin Ridley? Anything kind of Titans related on that front?
I mean, honestly, you know, it could be a dual Carter at one for the Titans, but also it could very well be Cam Ward. And I've been digging into these prospects. I've been getting more into the quarterbacks lately with Sanders, Ward, Jackson Dart. I like Cam Ward the best of these three and best of the class, but I still don't love him. I think he's fine. Yeah. I don't have sky high expectations. I'm not, even if Cam Ward goes first overall, I'm likely not taking him till the middle of the first round of Superflex draft. Like, that's kind of where I'm at. Looking at what he could do for the Titans offense, I would definitely be downgrading Calvin Ridley. Will Levis was, he was bad. Absolutely was bad. But he was a Jameis Winston in a sense where he was willing to chuck it downfield. He threw that ball downfield so often. He was either getting sacked or throwing it down the field. Like, that 100%. Was, or throwing a pick. Like, that was Will Levis all season long. And Calvin Ridley is great at working downfield. He's able to do that. And the thing is, with Cam Ward as a rookie quarterback, maybe he'll sling it downfield a few times. He's got a great cannon for an arm. But rookie quarterbacks tend to not throw a lot of touchdowns. And when you look at the history of fantasy receivers with rookie quarterbacks, it's just not a good history. And Calvin Ridley isn't a super special wide receiver. He's fine. He's good. So I don't see that being a great fantasy. I don't see Calvin Ridley being a great fantasy contributor with Cam Ward on the field.
Mm-hmm. Rocky, anything to add?
No, I think he pretty much said it all. Like, I've been saying this about Cam Ward, you know, whenever the rookie quarterbacks come up, is exactly what he said. I think he's fine. I think he's the best in this class. I don't think this class is very good. And I don't really like anyone else. So I think he's probably an NFL starter for a while, but I don't think he's going to be like a particularly good one. So Cam Ward does nothing for me. And I still think the Titans probably aren't going to take him anyway.
Can you imagine if Ward falls to the Giants at three? What do you do? Do you?
Oh, no, they're stuck. I think it's the better move for the GM and for the coach to at least give a rookie quarterback a chance, like I mentioned earlier. But if you have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston sign this roster,
you have to trade back.
And then you take a rookie, you are a laughing stock. Like, immediately you're going to be laughed at. Like, you don't get it. Like, that's going to look bad. So you trade back if Ward's on the board.
Because there's absolutely a world where Carter and Hunter go 1-2. And then Ward is 3.
Yeah, it really just depends on how the NFL feels about these quarterbacks. Because while we feel all a certain way, we have no idea how the NFL feels about these guys.
Yeah.
We have no idea. So it's going to be really intriguing when draft day comes.
I think the Titans fell in love with that little rollout throw that's going around Twitter right now from Ward's pro day yesterday.
Zach Wilson has the same throw.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, don't fall for the pro day hype, man.
Yeah.
Not worth falling for. Is
absolutely
never worth falling for.
Off his back foot, though, Hutch. It was his back foot.
It was a great throw. And it's funny. The field is also misleading, too, because it looked like the whole field.
Right.
It's a 60-yard field. They don't have 40 and 50-yard lines in there.
It's one of those fields, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a 60-something-yard throw. It wasn't an 80, 90-yard bomb. Like, this was not that. It's really funny to see that, though, too.
We'll get to a pro day thing in the in the minor news. Roman also says Sanders goes first to the Titans. I'm still not drafting. Wait, I can't read. What does that say? Sanders and go first to the Titans.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense.
Okay. Roman, type that. Roman, type it again. I'll read it. Moving on to Stephon Diggs, 3-year, $69 million deal, $26 million guaranteed to the Patriots because, my Lord, they're desperate, apparently. So, Hutch, what do you think? It's good for May, I guess.
Yeah, it's good for May to have a target. And obviously, when you look at the deal, you see 3 years, $69 million. That sounds scary. $26 million guaranteed. It's probably going to be primarily a one-year deal, maybe 2 years. They're likely to be able to get out of the contract within a year or two. So this is up to Diggs to make up that money. This is up to Diggs to say, yes, I can still ball. Yes, I can still play. Please keep me in the following season. Don't cut me / trade me. So they're kind of giving him a prove it deal for 1 year. They're giving him a bag of money and then say, you can earn the rest. We'll see how this goes. So I still think the Patriots are absolutely top tier contenders to take a wide receiver at the top of the draft. Ted McMillan would be a great option. Travis Hunter would also be a great option. Both those guys are phenomenal prospects in my eyes. It would be great at wide receiver for the Patriots. So keep an eye on that, obviously. But if Stephon Diggs enters the season, even just as the wide receiver two behind Travis Hunter and Ted McMillan, or as the wide receiver one while the rookie's developing, there's plenty of fantasy relevance to be had here. He's coming off an ACL tear. He's 30-plus years old. So if he doesn't have it, he doesn't have it, and that's just not going to work. But if he even has a little bit of him left, he's got to get a boatload of targets. And Drake May, who we think is a great quarterback, I think he's a great quarterback. I don't know how you guys feel. I think he's a phenomenal quarterback, and I think he's going to become like a Josh Allen light. I really, really like the kid. And I think this is a good move for fantasy, but yeah, man, the 3 years, $69 million with $26 million guaranteed, it's a desperate move for the Patriots. I think if they made a move earlier, they would have been happier.
Right. The $26 million sounds like a 1 year deal, by the way.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it sounds more like a 1 year deal, and the rest is like earned.
Yes.
Patriots ahead, just out here overpaying everybody.
I know.
But yeah, I agree. I think it's a decent enough move. I am very skeptical about how much Diggs is going to have left.
Fair,
after the injury with the age. It's not even like he looked amazing with the Texans before he got hurt. It wasn't bad. He was catching some touchdowns.
He looked pretty good. I thought he looked pretty good. Yeah.
But I don't hate it, and I do like Drake May a lot. I think you like him even more than I do because the Josh Allen light's pretty strong words. But I do definitely like him. So I hope it works out, but I'm a little more scared of this than I think Kutch is.
Yeah. I'm just looking at names. And also, by the way, on the injury, it's later in the sheet. I forgot to take it off. He's apparently ahead of schedule and like running already. And that's from the Patriots insider when he was over there working out. So
yeah, everyone always says they're ahead of
schedule. That's true. Best shape of their life preseason.
Yeah, if a player is not ahead of schedule in their recovery, that means it's really bad.
That's when you should worry.
If you don't see the ahead of schedule report, you better be really worried.
That means they're way behind schedule.
Just trying to look at some names. Would you rather have Diggs or your favorite Colt? I don't think Rocky has a favorite Colt.
Well, I was actually in a dynasty startup and Diggs wasn't actually signed at this point, but I took Michael Pittman over him knowing that he was on the board. So I took Pittman. I'll probably stay behind that. I'll take Pittman.
Okay.
I would also take Pittman in that scenario.
Wow. I found out how to make him like a Colt.
That doesn't mean I like him. It just means I'm
just means he doesn't like Diggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also have way too much Diggs on my roster, so I hope it works out. I just I'm a little iffy.
That's fair. Diggs or Cup?
Oh, that
I know. That was my reaction.
Yeah, that one sucks. I think I'd go Diggs there, but that's a tough one too.
Do you imagine even 2 years ago you say Diggs Cup, and then we're all
you would be in the sucks. Wide receiver one discussion. Yeah. You'd be adding first to that.
I think I have to go Diggs there.
I'm taking just Diggs. He's better quarterback.
Even if they draft her, unless it is like Tet or like the super high first round rookie, I think Diggs still has the potential to be the wide receiver one. So I'll go Diggs. Mm-hmm.
Last one, Diggs or Jaden Reed?
Oh, that sucks. Man, I've never.
It can be insert favorite Packer if you like one better than that.
No, I don't. Jaden Reed would be my favorite. I don't like any of the Packers receivers, honestly. None of them have ever intrigued me. Jaden Reed has never been a guy I've been truly that in on.
I knew I liked
especially last year at his advanced ADP, and after what he did this year, I was always on the sell Jaden Reed trade.
Yep.
I'm still going to take him here, though. He's youthful. He's got plenty of explosive playmaking ability. You've got a lot of years there. And even if the Packers add a wide receiver one, it allows Jaden Reed to have a lot more open opportunity against DB2s, against, you know, again, if safeties aren't looking his way, Jaden Reed can burn somebody downfield and have some big plays. I'm going to go with Reed there.
Okay. Yeah, I think you got to go Reed just for the upside. And Roman did mention that we were all overlooking Demario Douglas in New England.
Yeah, we've been doing that for years. It's
I don't think so, man.
Why switch that now?
if Drake May truly takes the next step and becomes a phenomenal quarterback, like he was good last year, but if he takes that next step, there could be room for our Demario Douglas to be relevant. But he's not especially talented above any of the other options on his team. He just really isn't. So I just don't see it. I just don't see it happening.
I'm trying to remember. I'll remember throughout the show. There was a Patriots wide receiver who teased us every year for like 5 years. He wore 85, and I'll get the name. I'll remember it in a second. But moving on to the other kind of big news was the T. Higgins contract. It kind of came out over the weekend that this is not the big contract that we thought it was. This is a what the heck are you doing T. Higgins contract. So let me break it down very quickly. He traded in a $26 million tag for the following. He gets a $20 million roster bonus 5 days after he signs. The only true guarantee at signing is a $10 million 2026 offseason roster bonus. And they owe him nothing if they cut him after this season. So essentially he's on a 1 year deal. So Hutch, does this change anything for you from a dynasty perspective, or are we just trusting talent for now and we'll see where he goes next year?
T. Higgins is about to ball out.
He's okay. I like that.
He's 100% on a prove it deal, and a lot of his money comes from his healthy games. And you look in the details of the contract, a lot of the money coming into him says you play 17 games and we'll give you this money. Like, it depends on his health. And I think Higgins is going to go out and he's going to ball and he's going to show up and show the Bengals that he is needed. But another funny thing about this is that when this contract came out, it was like, oh, they got Higgins, they got Chase, they got Burrow locked up, and they just forgot about their defense. No, they have Burrow and Chase locked up. They don't have Higgins locked up, and they still forgot about their defense. I don't want – like, the Bengals have had a rough offseason, man. I don't know what they're doing over there, but it is rough. But, you know, T. Higgins is going to ball out. They need to, man. The defense is going to be so poor. Joe Burrow's have to throw the ball 45, 50 times a game. This offense is going to have to go nuclear every game if they want a chance. Higgins is going to have to be very, very involved in the offense.
This is what we've been saying. It's like 45-42 every Bengals game. So,
man.
T. Higgins is going to have to ball out. Am I reading this correctly? He's actually then less money if he would have just stayed on the tag?
I think it's because it was like he makes 35 overall this year somehow across everything, like across salary, across
– okay.
So he makes more on a 1 year deal, but it's not a 4 year, $115 million deal like we thought it was.
That makes sense. That makes more sense. But yeah, I agree. I think, you know, Burrow, Chase, Higgins, I love them all this year because that defense is so bad. We've talked about it. And the fact that he's on a 1 year deal just makes it even better. Like Hutch said, he's gonna need to ball out so that he can earn that money. Either if somehow the Bengals keep paying him, or if they do cut him, then he can go somewhere else and make a whole bunch of cash.
Right. I was looking at names. Higgins or Kyren Williams. We'll go across position for the
first Higgins.
Yeah, easily Higgins.
The hate on Kyren came out.
I love Kyren, but I'm taking the young wide receiver, youngish wide receiver.
I'm not a big Kyren fan. I think he is an average running back. I don't think he's that good. I think the situation that he's in and the head coach that he has in Sean McVay and the run scheme he has benefits him greatly. I thought Blake Corum looked as good, if not better, than Kyren last year in his limited touches.
And I will say, I think he probably only has one more really good year in him.
At least. Higgins or Ladd, let's say no major wide receiver additions to Chargers.
Ladidi McConkey. That's my choice there, yeah.
Well, if you add the caveat that there's no major wide receiver addition.
I don't think there will be.
I was going to say, let's say no first 2 days of draft.
I don't think there will be round one. Maybe day two. Maybe they do the out of wide receiver. But the thing is, this wide receiver class does not have a lot of depth. Right. After the first couple of names, after the first handful of names, it is a scary list to me, actually, personally. And when you look across the industry, you see similar things. I don't think they take one day one. I think there's plenty of other positions of need they could fill. And this is a team that wants to run the football, and they're not aggressive about throwing the football. They re-signed Mike Williams. Quentin Johnson showed some – I know we hate Quentin Johnson, but he showed some development last year. He really did. He almost doubled his yardage. He made some great plays, and I think they're going to let their first-round pick in Quentin Johnson try to develop and try to become a more established piece in their offense. I think it's going to be McConkey and Quentin Johnson as their main duo next year, along with maybe a round three or day three wide receiver. Lad McConkey's going to be their guy.
Yeah, I think my cop-out answer is I think I'd personally rather have T on my team, but I think Lad's worth more. Yeah.
That is your go-to answer. Lad, or sorry, not Lad, T or JSN?
Oh, that's a fun one. JSN, just because you get a few more years of youth. You get a couple more years of youth, but that's a really great question.
I feel like Rocky's going to answer the same way. He'd rather have T, but JSN.
I mean, it is kind of the same, because I hate this offense so much.
Yeah, it's fair.
I think Darnold's going to, it's going to, like, Geno Smith and Daniel Jones of years past, he's going to turn back into a pumpkin, and he'll be fine-ish, but he's not going to be as good as he was last year, and that line is not that good, and they don't have a lot of the receiver. So, yes, that's my answer again. I'm taking the cop-out answer again. I think T. Higgins produces more, JSN is worth more. If you offered me straight up, I'd probably take JSN unless I'd probably take JSN in any scenario, contending or not.
Yep. Quickly on the minor news, Tyler Conklin to the Chargers, so they no longer need a tight end, clearly. Brandon Cooks to the Saints, back on a two-year deal. Michael Gallup to the Commanders. And Isaiah Bond ran a 4.35 40 at his pro day because he's a freaking liar and said he was and didn't beat the record at his place either.
I hadn't seen that Michael Gallup news. Didn't he retire or something?
He did. He came out of retirement.
Okay, I didn't even see that. Okay. That's interesting. Not that I think he's going to be relevant at all, but
I was going to say, does anyone like anything on here? I was half joking, but I think if they don't make a real tight end move, Conklin's worth something. I just don't think they won't make a real tight end.
Oh, this tight end class is way too strong. They're going to make a move.
Colton Loveland almost makes too much sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense for them to go that direction. But also, I want to shout out Isaiah Bond for a second. I know he was talking, he was chirping. He was like, I'm going to break the 40 record. His times were pretty good, though.
No, they were. And I only give him shit because I said I also said he would beat Worthy's time, and he made me look really good for about 24 hours and then missed the time by a lot. So,
yeah, no. Obviously, like, that was not fun. And it really made an impact on the way we look at him. But in reality, when you look at his times, like, especially like when I watched film on him, I was like, a 4.35, 4.4s, like that's a good time for him. I thought he was gonna, honestly, I didn't know he was gonna get that fast. That's a pretty good time, and while it wasn't what he said he was gonna be, it definitely meets the expectations of what he is as a player. He's a really fast dude.
Absolutely. And it makes me laugh that Roman says Gallup doesn't even need to be talked about when he suggested Demario Douglas 10 minutes ago. So same category for me. Moving on to I usually have the guest pick, but the way this kind of lines up, it actually makes sense to go trades and then listener questions. So TradeX League's 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium, 1.75 per tight end reception and 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1, and we don't have any TA1 trades, so we don't have to deal with those stubborn people. Moving on to TA2, we have DJ Moore for a 2026 first. Rocky, do you know what the first is? Oh, it's 2026. I wasn't reading. Excuse me. Hutch, what would you
put on here?
Hutch, what do you think about that trade?
I mean, looking at the deal, like, you got to look at this roster for this first round pick. If they're looking like a team that's going to lose this year, they're looking like a team that, oh man, they're definitely going to be a bottom five team. You want that pick.
Rule of Trade Addicts is we don't do context right away. So you think of everything in a bucket and then we'll do context after that.
I got you. Yeah. But yeah, the context for that first matters in this trade. Yeah. Absolutely does, man. Because you got to say, like, because the thing is, you got to look at this 2026 class. Obviously, it's a long time from now. Like, we don't know. This 2026 quarterback class looks really strong. And in super flex leagues, having a top five pick and a strong quarterback class is really fun. Like, that's a fun thing to do.
Yes.
Something to have, fun asset to have. And I promise it will be incredibly more valuable than DJ Moore when that time comes.
Yep.
So if it's an early first, if it's looking like that team is going to lose this year, take a shot at that first. But if it's like, oh yeah, this team is going to be a loaded top 10 team, I mean, top like two team easy.
Yeah.
I would slightly prefer DJ Moore because I believe in Caleb Williams. DJ Moore is a phenomenal player. And I think him and Roman Dunes are going to be a great duo together.
While Rocky continues to look this up, do you like Rome or DJ better?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to take Roma Dunze. I'm going to take Roma Dunze for the youth, and I think he flashed enough last year to give me more confidence, give me enough confidence.
So looking at the team, I think it is neither of those things. I don't think it's a top two team.
Dead middle.
I don't think, yeah, it's a pretty middle-ish team. DJ Moore, adding DJ Moore helped. It was his own pick. So adding DJ Moore helps make the pick a little worse.
So it's going to be contending first.
He was the four seed last year. Got some pieces. But I don't think he's like, oh my god, we can't beat this guy. So
okay. Well, look at, for the person making this trade, look at their team and see how you feel about the players in their team. Like if you see a few players are going to bottom out this year, if you see a few players that you think are busts, just make a gut call. Yeah. Make a gut call. Do you think this is going to be a bad team? Do you think these players are not going to work out? Or do you think this is a team that some of the players are going to break out? Some of the players are going to have bump up seasons and help this guy push to a championship and make your team based off of that.
Yeah. So with the first being kind of probably middling first, I think I would give that for DJ Moore, especially one that's 2 years out.
I like this. I like the trade as a contender. If you're giving your 2026 first for Moore,
yeah,
I like that move. Moving on to TA7, we have JJ McCarthy and the 204 for Brock Purdy and Najee Harris. And Brock Purdy has still not been extended, as far as I've seen. So, yeah. Hutch, what do you think?
This is a, you know, I saw this one on the dock, and this one got me thinking. Like, I really, really was pondering this trade. I think it's really intriguing because you have Brock Purdy, who is a very proven quarterback. He's a very good quarterback, and he's, like, I especially think last year he proved how good he was, because the first few years of his career was like, oh, the weapons are everything. The system is everything. Brandon Ayuk went down. Debo Samuel sucked. George Kittle was great, but he was almost it. Christian McCaffrey went down. And Brock Purdy, the team didn't end up winning a lot of games. I thought Brock Purdy balled. I thought he had a really solid season. Watching the film, watching him play, I thought he made a lot out of the little that he had. I really was impressed watching Brock Purdy. I thought even though the 49ers had a down season, it was arguably his best season yet in terms of proving what he can do for the roster. And then Najee Harris, I mentioned earlier, I think he could be a phenomenal back in Los Angeles for at least a year, if not two, if he gets re-signed. However, so if you're a contender, I think I'm going to lean that way. Mm-hmm. However, JJ McCarthy could be easily, and I mean easily, worth more than both these assets combined next year.
Yes.
If he has a good season, he could be drafted in the first round of Superflex drafts next year. Like, he is a young aspiring quarterback who was drafted. He was a young quarterback drafted in the first round out of a pro ready offense in Michigan. He knows how to run a good offense. He has elite weapons around him with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, Jefferson Addison, both incredibly young. And you have an elite offensive line that has continued building this offseason. And you also have a head coach in Kevin O'Connell who is a genius. I mean, he is phenomenal with the way he designs his offenses. And for me in Dynasty, it's go big or go home. I like taking risks. I'm going to take the JJ McCarthy. Unless I'm like, this is my year to compete, I'm taking the JJ McCarthy side. And another thing I'll add on to this. If JJ McCarthy, I've said this on my podcast, said this on Twitter a little bit. If JJ McCarthy is an average to above average quarterback this year, if he plays solid football, that Vikings team is going to be a serious Super Bowl contender.
Like, that's just way too smart. He said a lot of the things I would have said, except I disagree with him on which side I would take, even though I agree with a lot of what he said, mainly because I'm not a big JJ McCarthy guy. But if he's ever going to succeed, we saw what they did with Sam Darnold, it would be in Minnesota with that coaching, with that line, with those weapons. I get it. I kind of agree with you on Purdy. I don't think I'm still not, I think, as high as consensus would be on Purdy, but I used to hate Purdy and I've come around a lot. So I'd rather take the known in Purdy, and because I'm not a big believer in McCarthy, and because I totally agree with you on the whole Najee thing that we've mentioned multiple times now. The upside there is huge, just on the volume he could get and on what he could do in that offense. So I get it. If you're not contending, I get why you would do this. But I would still rather have that side.
Yep. I would take the Purdy side just because I also don't believe in JJ McCarthy. I think, you know, the talent's there, but I need to see it between the ears and let him actually throw some balls around, because Michigan, he had some, let's say, tough games. He's lost them a couple of games he should have won back at Michigan, and I understand that was a few years ago, but I still need to see it.
It's fair.
Moving on to the most fun trade of the day is Josh Downs and the 306, all of Hutch's favorite things, for Sam Darnold.
No. I don't like any of these assets. I talked about I diminished thirds on this show. I took Michael Pittman over Josh Downs in this show. We've talked down Sam Darnold. I don't like any of these assets. However, if I have to take one, I'm going to go with the Sam Darnold side. Yep. He's a starting quarterback in a super flex league. And while we think he's probably going to be bad, it could be better. I mean, I don't think we're going to see, because the thing is, we hate on Sam Darnold. We don't like the situation yet. I don't think we're going to see New York Jets Sam Darnold. I think we're going to see at least an average, mediocre, at least
that. I agree with you. It's going to be somewhere in the middle.
I was going to say, that's the way I feel too. I don't think he's going to be, awful,
Shane Ghost.
But yeah, he's going to be he's going to be Geno Smith, basically.
Yeah, he's going to be
mediocre.
Yeah, he's like around QB20 in terms of NFL ranks. He's going to be right there. And that's worth it in a Superflex league. That's a QB2 that you can start on a regular basis. And Josh Downs with Anthony Richardson in this offense, I just don't trust it. Michael Pittman has the money to his name. He's the contract to his name. And Josh Downs seems like a fun player, but he was only fantasy relevant when Joe Flacco was on the field, and that is it. Otherwise, he was completely irrelevant for the Colts and for fantasy. So I'm going to lean with Sam Darnold because he's a quarterback.
Yep.
This trade is like my worst nightmare. I don't like anybody on the of the Colts.
No, there's no Jets in here
because of Anthony Richardson. I don't like Sam Darnold, but I have to agree. You just I don't want to. I hate TA7 for friggin' making me pick a Sam Darnold side of a trade. But yeah, I think you just have to take the quarterback because none of this is great, and then hope you can flip Sam Darnold for something better than this.
For the sake of content, I'm gonna make up a Colts and Jets trade and make Rocky pick a side. Like all the things
he doesn't do. You want my trade? I don't know.
Yes, please. I was gonna throw it to you now.
I don't even know if I should even bother. Like, I don't know if I'm valuing one side of this too much for even offering it, because I think I'd be giving up too much. But anyway, it is Jordan Addison and the 104 or Nico Collins.
Ooh. Repeat that. Sorry, I missed it.
Jordan Addison and the 104
for
Nico Collins. I'm a huge Nico Collins guy. Man. I would be getting Nico Collins in this trade. When I first saw it, it felt like a little much to me. Yeah, super flex. But I don't know. It's like close to me because I love Nico.
Yeah, it's TA scoring. So keep in mind there's tight end premium in there too, Hutch. So it could be Loveland. It could be someone like that.
Yeah, Warren. Yeah, it could be Warren, or it could be Warren. But I think you're looking at Warren, Amari Hampton, Tep McMillan there, along with Jordan Addison, who is a very fantasy relevant wide receiver for Nico Collins. Wow. I think that's it's so close to me that when a trade is that close to me, I almost put this as my trade guideline. When a trade is so close and it's like it feels just so even, you want the best player. And Nico Collins is the best asset of this trade.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lean that direction so ever slightly.
I was going to say if the trade's that close, take the player you like more, because this is supposed to be fun and it's a game. And if you like Nico Collins and the trade's that close, get Nico Collins.
Yeah.
Does it matter that I'm not very good? Because Nico's still young. So does that matter at all that I'm giving up two assets for one?
Nah, he's got plenty of youth. You're good.
Yeah, he's 25.
Yeah.
Is he young? Yeah, I was more just thinking because it's a two for one that I'm giving up Addison and the 104. But you guys tell me to do it. I'm doing it. So do it.
Do it. Why not?
Okay, we're doing it.
I'd be happy with it.
Yeah.
So this does not go on the sheet next week because we just talked about it. So.
if we remember not to put it on the sheet.
Yeah, I probably will do it anyway.
It's okay. Whoever's there can do it. I don't even know who we have next week. So moving on to the listener questions. Mm-hmm. Just one, but we can really get into it for a little bit. From Zach Reed at Tass at Assassin13.beastguy.social. I know Hutch has started to become a rookie film watcher. How do you balance your evaluation with the crowd's opinion? And do you have anyone that you bounce ideas off of while you're watching your incoming rookies? And then we'll get to the second question after that.
Man, it's a great question. It's a phenomenal question. My process with the rookies, you know, the thing is with college football, I don't watch a lot of college throughout the NFL season. I don't keep up with college football. Like, I'm not a Devy player, you know, like, I'm not all into that. When NFL season's on, I'm in the NFL. And then when the draft comes up, I go hard on these prospects. I've been going hard over the last couple of months, getting ready, make sure I know a lot of these guys' names, make sure I'm ready to talk about them as they go to different teams. Like, even, you know, not just the top couple rounds of players, but the nitty gritties, the day three guys, my sleepers, all of those things. I'm still working through all of that. But when it comes to actually going through a prospect, I like to look them up real quick first. Like, look up a basic prospect profile, find, you know, their height, weight, simple strengths and weaknesses. What kind of player am I looking at? Like, for a running back, I'll say, okay, am I looking at a lighter kind of pass catching running back? Am I looking at a bruiser? What kind of running back am I looking at here? Just a basic profile. And I take that information. I'm like, okay, this is what I'm looking for. This is the things I'm looking to see out of this kind of player. And I watch the film. And as I'm watching the film, I am pencil paper. I do it a little old school, even as an 18-year-old, a little old school. I take as many notes as possible. I write down every single thing I see on film, not highlights, but like actual game film, watching every snap, target, touch, whatever they get, and just taking as many notes as I can. And after I look through the notes and I watch the film again, and I see, okay, what am I seeing in these notes? Are they correct? Am I seeing the same things consistently? And if there's something that I wrote down, I was like, I'm not really seeing that again. I'm going to cross it out. I'm going to write something different down. And then after all of that, I'll look at, specifically lately this year, I've been looking at the Football Guys rookie guide. I mean, I work with Football Guys and I really trust the guys on there. We have
nice product placement, Hutch. I like it.
I know we have. I really didn't mean to do that, but we have a phenomenal team and I love what we're doing with the rookie guide. So I look at the rookie guide and I look at the prospect profile that they have there. And I'm seeing if there's something similar to me. I also listen to Football Guys fantasy football shows, you know, Dave Cluey, Alfredo Brown, Jeff Bell. They're all fantastic analysts, and I listen, see if they have anything on these players. And if I'm seeing similar things as them, like, I'll say, great, that's awesome. But if I see something different, I'll say, okay, let me go back and look at the stats, look at the film again to see if I'm missing something here. But if I still see the same things I'm writing down, then I'm sticking with my take and I'm going different than what the bigger analysts are saying, but, or not really bigger, my colleagues, you know, but if I'm seeing what they're seeing, if I see something that I did wrong, I'm like, okay, I'll change that. And that's basically my process. It's a pretty long drawn out process. I spend a lot of time on these processes trying to make sure I get them right.
Yeah, no, it's good. Before we get to the second question, and Rocky can answer if he has any kind of film watching things, but Roman asks in Superflex, if Sanders goes top three in the draft, do you consider him top six in fantasy? I don't think he's going top three in the draft, but if he does, that'd be
like top six in redraft fantasy or dynasty.
I would probably guess super flex redraft. Yeah.
Oh, super flex rookie drafts. Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Me either.
All right, no. I'm not in. There are too many good running backs and receivers at the top of this draft, and even tight end, even at the tight end position with Tyler Warren. There's too many guys at the top that these quarterbacks are just not good enough. They're not going to make top six for me. Even if there goes one overall with Cam Ward or Shadoo Sanders, whoever it is, they're likely going to be in my 7 to 9 rankings. Top six is a really tough mark for me.
That would be great if Shadoo went one after all of this stuff on Ward.
Yeah, after a lot of the hype for Ward, if Sanders went one, that would be
cool. That would be funny. This is a fun question. Well, first, Rocky, do you have any film watching stuff, or do you listen to a lot of people myself, like I do?
Yeah, exactly. I do it, but I don't consider myself good enough at it to really speak knowledgeably. Right. I just do it for my own benefit, my own process, and to try and help with my rookie drafts. I'll comment on stuff here and there on the pod, but I consider myself far from a rookie expert, so I'll leave that to other people.
And also, I will not call myself rookie expert. I've been learning and developing myself ever since I've started doing it. Like, I've gotten better and better as the years gone along and learned more and more. But it's I've gotten to a good process that I'm proud of. But it's absolutely still a work in progress. I would not call myself an expert here.
I watch college football during the season a good amount, and I listen to people smarter than me. That's my rookie process. This is a very fun question. If you could know one rookie landing spot right now, what would it be? I'm going to say player, not like team picks someone.
Oh, damn. I was going to say, can I cheat and say who ends up like as the running back in Dallas or something like that?
You know what? Fine. We'll do it that way. You can interpret it however you want to interpret it. I want to know where Golden goes. That's my answer.
That's great. For me, I feel like the talk about him has not been enough for me. Right. I would love, not Golden, by the way. I want to see Travion Henderson's draft stock. I want to know where he goes in the draft, because earlier in the offseason, there was some round one talk. There was a little bit of that talk, similar to how like Jahmyr Gibbs had that conversation where it was like, he might go round one, he might not. And the Gibbs obviously went 12th overall. We saw that. I'm not expecting that for Henderson. But it's going to be really intriguing to me, especially in a strong running back class with Amari Hampton and Ashton Gentry on top. Quentin Judkins, also a very phenomenal back. Where Travion Henderson is going to go, because I am incredibly intrigued by him for fantasy purposes. I think he could be another Alvin Kamara / Jahmyr Gibbs type, where he doesn't get all the carries in the world, but his pass catching ability and his explosive playmaking ability make him a phenomenal fantasy asset. So does he go day one? Does he go round two? That's going to be huge for me. And especially, obviously, what team he goes to. That'll be huge as well.
Right. Ohio State's pro day is actually tomorrow.
Yeah, so we'll get to see these guys run a little bit.
See them run
out a little bit. That'll be fun.
If I'm going to pick a player, I'm kind of interested to see where Tet ends up, actually, because and Zach has said this too, a little more iffy on him than the consensus. So I do think his landing spot could matter more than, like, I know we normally just say the talent wins out and that kind of thing. But I just feel like he's very specific kind of receiver, and that I want to see where he lands and see if I actually like that landing spot. Like, I was trying to think of a really bad spot off the top of my head. If he goes to I don't know,
Vegas.
I'm trying to think of somewhere he could. Yeah, I was going to say Vegas, but yeah,
with Gina. Yeah.
To me, honestly, looking at Ted McMillan, I have a really hard time seeing him falling past Carolina at 8.
Me too.
If he is there on the clock, I don't think there's a chance Carolina passes on him. Like, they need a wide receiver. They have added nobody in free agency. They re-signed Adam Thielen. That is it. There's no way they're not going into this draft after the season Bryce Young had last year saying, we're not going to add a wide receiver at pick 8. Like, Ted McMillan at 8 feels like an absolute lock for the Carolina Panthers if he's there. And even if he's not there, like, Luther Burden is a phenomenal wide receiver prospect. He could even go that high. Like, Carolina has to add, man. They got to get somebody on this roster.
Yeah, because if he gets past 8, I'm just staring at the order. He could go to San Fran, which I wouldn't hate.
San Fran would be interesting, but they still have Brandon Ayuk on that contract. I'd be surprised, honestly, if they
then took he that then he really starts to go.
And they also have Pearsall.
Right.
Yeah.
If you saw their former first round pick last year, had that gunshot wound. I think he's an interesting sleeper as well. I think that brand's gonna give him a chance.
Let's just put Ted on Atlanta and put like the Twin Towers of wide
receiver. Wow.
I was just trying to think. And Roman says Golden to the Packers. I feel like I'm really picking on Roman, and I genuinely don't mean to. I can't think of anything less I want than Matthew Golden to the Packers. That would just be another 5'10" fast receiver, and they don't need another one of those.
They just need a wide receiver one. Like, yes. Josh Jacobs, I think Josh Jacobs worded it really. I mean, he worded it poorly for the media purposes, but I think he worded it perfectly. They don't have an established wide receiver one. They just don't have it.
Like, Tet would actually make a lot of sense, but he's not going to make it that far to the Packers.
Yeah. No, he won't. He won't fall that far. I highly doubt that.
But I love you, Roman. Sorry for picking on you. And then Zach's answer to my last question. So it was March Madness Monday yesterday when I came up with this. So I said, what was one of your least favorite days of the year? Because March Madness Monday is easily one of mine. Zach said every day below 50 degrees. So Zach must be very depressed because he lives in Maine. So
I agree with him though.
Every day below, I need to do a wellness check on Zach, because every day below 50 degrees is a lot of them in Maine.
A lot of Maine, yeah.
So Hutch, do you have any answers on that?
Your
least favorite days of the year. So like mine's March Madness Monday, or like the first day back at work or school after winter break, or something like that.
Least favorite days of the year. That is interesting. Probably the first couple days after the Super Bowl, because you realize it's all over. It's all over.
Yep.
It's all over. It's but honestly, it's not, because after a few weeks free agency hits, and then it's like, oh, we're back.
I know.
But,
there's barely an offseason anymore.
The post-Super Bowl depression of I have to go back to work and I have to go back to school and get all this put together, it's just like, it's so sad.
Yeah.
It is so sad. I hate it. But yeah.
Yeah, you took a good one there. Basically, the first day back after a long break from work is awful. I can't stand it. You have a week or two's worth of emails to catch up on. You're also still in vacation mode. But I also agree with Zach's answer, too. Like, I hate the cold so much, and I hate the snow. So, yeah, I should move to California or something, because I can't stand the winter.
I'd pay money to watch that. You hate every food in California. The green shakes and the quinoa stuff. Yeah, no, you'd hate everything there. Mine is kind of mostly after events. Like I said, yesterday is one of those bad days, because I watch like basketball for four straight days and then I have to go to work, which is not very fun. But anyways, that's going to be the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Hutch, for coming on, talking to us. Why don't you remind the people who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
I want to say I appreciate you guys so much for having me on the show. Y'all can follow me on Twitter. I'm at HutchSimB_FF. I'm that handle at Blue Sky as well. Check out my work with Football Guys. I do a lot of content over there in the video and the article game as well. Some stuff behind the scenes. And also, make sure you check out Hutch Coming in Clutch, my podcast, every single week talking all about fantasy football.
Excellent. Our stuff, patreon.com/TradeXPod. You can watch us while we record, see all of Hutch's nice jerseys behind him. And we also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. It's been talking a lot of trades and stuff like that as we're getting closer to the draft. So fun discussions in there. Of course, Fantasy Cares. There's not any near-term big campaigns. They're in the middle of March Madness right now. I think the next one's the Masters in a couple of weeks. But they have Trivia Night on Mondays with Joey Wright, which Hutch has been a participant and a competitor in that. It's a fun time.
Shout out to Joey, man. I love him.
Yeah, he's been great. They did Office last night, and I missed the very first question and gave up. So I don't know anything about The Office. And then they have Rookie Hootenanny on Tuesdays with Zach Reed and J Mike, and they have the Hangout on Wednesday nights, which is always a fun time, and it's where you get to see Russ. And speaking of Russ, as he always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. And that's it for tonight, everyone. Good night.
Night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. And a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fans, that is the best. See ya.